Okay. In Heavenly Places, page 16, if you actually have the booklet. And it's January 10th, of course, being a devotional. And the headline, what do you call this here? The title is Not to Condemn, But to Save. Starts off with John chapter 3, verse 17. It says, For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. A lot of people seem to forget that. And this is why you see what's happening, for example, with the homosexual community, and they're having homosexual marriage now. So many Christians have browbeaten, have insulted, have shown overwhelming hatred to homosexuals over the years that they were allowed to use that persecution like a political grassroots campaign to the point where now they got homosexual marriage and now they're pushing for pedophilia, well, polygamy, polygamists and stuff like that. It's because the Christians had no patience. They didn't have any, they were just too condemning. And it always confuses me because I'm thinking, well, you're a Christian. And they say, yeah. Is alcoholists, you know, like drinking alcohol, like drunkards, is that a sin? Well, most of them will say, well, no, drinking's not a sin. They don't even know what 1 Corinthians 6, verse 10 says about drunkards aren't allowed in heaven. But some, you know, they'll go so far as to say, yeah, blind staggering drunks, that's a sin, okay? All right, how about lying? Yeah, that's a sin, okay? All right, so let me ask you this. Instead of getting into all 10 of the commandments, why is it you guys aren't picketing out in front of bars and yelling and screaming? Well, they did do that in the 1800s, of course, but why aren't you doing that now? Why aren't you out there calling drunks jerks and calling them names and telling them God hates them? And why is it you aren't camping out in front of Hollywood movie theaters or places where the writers are that write nothing but fiction? All they're doing is lying, and so that's sin, so why aren't you doing it to them? Why is it you're sitting there yelling and screaming at the homosexuals? Now, I'm not saying it's, you know, that homosexuals should get a free ride. Please, no, don't. I'm not Pope Francis, all right? He's going off way off on the wrong end here, and he's even lying. They even put lies out today in the Vatican that says he's never been for civil union, and there's literally 1.38 million articles on Yahoo. I didn't check Google because I don't like being tracked. But on Yahoo, there's 1,380,000 articles showing how Pope Francis, before he was a pope, he was a cardinal of Argentina, and he was for and pro, you know, supporting homosexual unions. All right, so if the Christians had the same patience and tried to bring Jesus Christ to the drunkards with a gentle heart, and the same patience and tried to bring Jesus Christ to the adulterers or the liars or the blasphemers, why couldn't they have the same patience to bring Jesus Christ to the homosexuals? Well, it's also a double-sided coin. If you look at the way the homosexuals treat Christians, when a Christian, and this is even before it got to the point where everybody hates Christians, like it is right now, before the Christians, when they, you know, would even share, because most of the homosexuals are still in the closet. Even though they were still in the closet, they were very hateful and vulgar. And I mean, because I remember years ago, I was dealing with an email from someone who had a loved one that was homosexual or something like that. And this guy, I just sent him a couple of Bible verses, and I didn't, and this was like early internet. And I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, I really don't know how long the internet's been here, to be honest with you. I just know my site was on there a year or two after it started. But the hatred for Christianity, and it's understandable because they know they're wrong. They can't get around that. So anyway, she goes on to say, there are souls who are trembling in unbelief. They ask, how can I know that God is reconciled to me? How can I be assured that he loves and pardons me? It is not for you, dear youth, to make yourselves just with God. Jesus invites you to come to him with all your burdens and perplexities. Accept the promise and the provision that God has made. Look away from self to Jesus, for in Christ the character of the Father is revealed. And she goes on to say that the blood of Christ and ever in ever abiding efficacy, is our only hope. For through his merits alone we have pardon and peace. The character of God is revealed, as revealed by Christ, invites our faith and love. For we have a Father whose mercy and compassion fail not. At every step of our journey heavenward, he will be with us to guide in every perplexity, to give us help in every temptation. And see, this is where a lot of people fail. This really saddens my heart when I think about it, because, and you can see this too, like when it comes to modern Christianity and the way, like when prayers are, like what, because I always bring this up, and I don't know how many times I've mentioned it, but for example, 895K with 46 families in the room. Yeah, what's working? My idea is going to work tomorrow. It's got to. But anyway, I just looked at the bandwidth monitor. And I lost my train of thought. I should not have done that. This is why I always beg you, please don't send me PMs during study hour or during sermons, because most of what I do is like off the cuff, praise God, and that's the way I prefer it. And I get distracted too easily. Sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't, and sometimes it does. But anyway, let's move on. Maybe the thought will come back. And she goes on to say, your reason and imagination should be touched with the life-giving power of Christ, that forms of beauty and truth may be impressed thereon. There are great and precious truths that demand your contemplation, in order that you may have a sound foundation for your faith by having a correct knowledge of God. Oh, that the superficial, vain seeker for truth would learn that the world by wisdom, however much acquired, knew not God. And, yeah, that's where I was going with that. Because they don't know him. And like the point I was bringing up is like when a doctor walks into the waiting room and he got the whole family there and they're all scared because little Mabel got in a car accident, let's say, all right? And the doctor comes in and says, sorry, she's in a coma, doesn't look good. We've done all we can. All you can do is pray. And then everybody collapses in tears and cries, and no one seems to think that this is an opportunity to see our Father's hand move, because they've never had any experience walking with him. They don't know him. They don't know that he'll give them help in every temptation. They don't know about 1 Corinthians 10:13. They don't know that he's a guide to every in every perplexity. They've never seen his hand move because they never looked for it. The only time they ever look for God, it's like the fair weather Christian or the fair weather friend. The only time they seem to come around is when it's blue skies and birds landing on your shoulders. But the minute you got problems in life, boy, it's like crickets. That's all you hear. There's no one around to help you. And this is the way Christians are. Or even kids. Sometimes, the kid, because I was like this with my dad. The only time I ever saw my dad is when there was lint in my pocket. Dad, I need a couple of bucks, And so I'd go and see my dad, and he'd always give me a couple of bucks. And that's not a very loving attitude. Later on in life, of course, we got a lot closer, and I praise God for that because it allowed me to share Christ with them. But the thing is, it's so sad when I think about people that call themselves Christians, but okay, when was the last time you prayed? Well, and then I think about it. I could say, okay, what time is it, if they ask me that? Or what was the last time you opened your Bible? Because I remember growing up, and this really... because I had relatives that if they found out a preacher, or, well, actually all my relatives were Catholic, so if a priest was coming over, they made it a point to get the Bibles out, open it up to a certain page, and act like they were reading it. Like have a highlighter nearby. And this is, well, when he's not around, it's like that Bible stuffed away in some closet underneath, 3 or 4 pounds of shoes. They never read it. They don't know him. And so, of course, when the doctor says all we can do is pray, they're going to collapse in tears because they thought, oh, that never worked. Because it never has worked for them because they don't know him. And you can't know, it's just like, how everybody always says, and this is sad to think about it in this way, but some people think the only way to get ahead in life is to know someone. In a way, that's true because a lot of people do get good business connections because of who they know. And they could see the... Oh, hold on. I got this stupid alarm going off. I tell you, these things go off at the worst times, especially when I'm on the phone talking to somebody. Okay, that's no biggie. I'm going to shut these things down for now. Hold on. Okay, it's gone. All right, little birdie. A little cuckoo clock thing. But anyway, let me continue. She goes on and she says, it is proper to seek to learn all that is possible from nature, but do not fail to look from nature to Christ for the complete representation of the character of the living God. And boy, you can really see him in nature. Because I remember even I was a little kid walking around in the prairies. Because there wasn't a lot of woods. I mean, once in a while, if I got deep enough into the prairies behind Guidish Trailer Park in Bridgeview, if I got far enough behind there and it avoided the hobos, as we called them back then, because there were a bunch of guys out there just sitting and waiting for the train to come by, literal hobos, right? And I would find a little stand of trees, and boy, I'd have me a blast all day in there just looking for stuff. My bike was 2-3 miles away, ditched underneath some bush at the edge of the prairie, and I would just walk through it. And some of the things that I saw, it was just, looking for things, crawling around even if I had to, on the ground and just looking. And if there was a piece of wood or a branch or a piece of, I loved it if I saw a piece of plywood laying on the ground. Because half the time I picked up that piece of plywood, there was something underneath there, alive, and I'd go after it. And I'd get that thing, and I would stick it in my pocket, or if it was a snake, I would literally tuck my shirt in, and I'd put the snake inside my shirt, and that way it would stay warm on my belly. Because they love basking, you know. And because in Bridgeview, you don't get any poisonous. They don't, I mean, they'll bite you, but it's like a frog biting you. It's not, they got rows of teeth. It's not really going to, unless, now if you pull your finger out fast, yeah, you might scratch yourself and bleed, but that's, but like, you get scared. But, and then crayfish and stuff like that, if there was a creek or something like that. I didn't like crayfish, though. I mean, they were hard to catch. I mean, I caught a lot of them. I just didn't like getting bit by them because they can hold on pretty good. And snappers, ooh. Anyway, she goes on to say, well, my point was, I saw God everywhere. Even in winter when the trees are laying down and there's snow all over the place and it looks like there's death everywhere, you could see him in there. It's just amazing, his creation. She says, by contemplation of Christ, by conformity to the divine likeness, your conceptions of the divine character will expand and your mind and heart will be elevated, refined, and ennobled. Let the youth aim high, not relying upon human wisdom, but living day by day as seeing him who is visible, or rather who is invisible, doing their work as in the sight of the intelligences of heaven. And the best way to go day by day, of course, is, you know, morning, midday, evening prayer. And it doesn't have to be long and drawn out. I did a prayer series sermon years ago. He likes it, you know, keep it short and sweet kind of a thing. But if you're having a situation, of course, yeah, you go into a little detail if you like. Midday prayer, I like to do a walk and talk kind of a thing with them. You know, just keep them in. And then I understand like what Paul's saying, pray without ceasing all day long. You know, whatever happens. Thank you, Father. Oh, that was neat, Father. Or, wow, I didn't notice that, Father. You know, just talking, just keeping your day. And you'll get to know him to the point where, yeah, if the doctor says all you can do is pray, he says, well, great, then I get to see his hand move again. It's an opportunity to see his hand move where others are going, ruh-roh, yeah, what are you going to do? And then, of course, in the Word. You know, the praying and reading a scripture, that's hand in hand. You know, it's just like with anything else. You got to have both. Like even with a meal, you're going to have, all different dishes, if you will. Or different items on the plate, but for physical nutrient. Whereas, but prayer, I prefer the all-day prayer kind of a thing. The only really long prayer that I really get into is the midday and occasionally at night. And I don't like, well, I do like doing it because sometimes everybody's sleeping right before I go to bed and I might get into a conversation with them before you know it's 2 hours later. You just keep going and talking to them and, you know, and I love the way he'll converse. Without actually hearing a voice. And you, many of you know what I'm talking about here. Thoughts come to mind. He answers questions. His spirit reminds you of scripture. It's just, wow. It's like, because you start mentioning this and that situation and that, and then boom, scriptures come up. It's like, well, yeah, that's right. Thank you. You know, that kind of stuff. You get to know him. I mean, especially today, you gotta get to know. That way, if you end up behind bars, and some of you will, end up behind bars in the days ahead for crimes you never committed. Even if they take your Bible away, and even if they take your glasses away and then give you back your Bible, just to taunt you, you know, because, okay, you can't read thing one without your glasses, so they give you back your Bible. Or they give you your glasses and take away your Bible. Well, it don't matter. John 14:26 says he's going to bring all things to my remembrance, whatever he said unto me. So when I have my conversations with them at night, it's just going to pop. They're going to be coming in my mind. So anyway, she finishes by saying, he who constantly depends on God through simple trust and prayerful confidence will be surrounded by the angels of heaven. He who lives by faith in Christ will be strengthened and upheld, able to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold upon eternal life. Amen and amen. Amen. Precious time spent. Amen. Amen, Sister Pamela. And with that, I hope and pray you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.